91.7 WEEM. Welcome back to another WEEM weekly segment. I'm your host, Julia Walls, and I'm here with
Courtney Brenly, teacher at Pendleton Elementary Intermediate.
So first off, how long have you been teaching? It doesn't have to be Pendleton specific.
I know I'm one of the few, but I'm proud to say that I've been at Pendleton Elementary for 25 years.
It's a long time. I know most teachers haven't been teaching at one school for their whole career, so that's impressive.
Yes, yes.
How long have you been the student council sponsor at PEIS?
I have been the sponsor for 12 years.
So were you the first sponsor for the student council?
No, I was not.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
What's the purpose of a student council?
Basically, at this level, we just want to get them into that leadership role so they understand like what all the different officers do and then what they do as representatives. We really push for them just to be leaders and to be visible to their peers and their classmates and let them know that, you know, they're trustworthy kiddos that their classmates can go to, even their teachers can go to them with ideas and concerns. So we just want them to, you know, understand that they're starting to get older and, you know, develop those skills of what it takes to be a leader and not a follower, basically.
When do you start looking for the students who are going to be in the student council? Like, is there an application? Like, how, when do you start to like pick those students?
So we typically hold elections no later than October, and we've kind of been through all different processes of how we choose the representatives. And finally, I was like, I'm just going to leave it up to the teachers on how they want to do it for their individual classrooms. The only like rule that I have is I don't allow campaigning because I don't want it to be a popularity contest. And I try to encourage the teachers to do it in a way where, you know, it's anonymous and the kiddos don't really know who they are voting for. Because at this age, we have so many kids that are interested. And sometimes the ones that, you know, would be awesome leaders for us are not the most outspoken. So sometimes, you know, they're off to the side a bit. I can say from my classroom, I have my kiddos just do a little passage stating why they want to be a part of the council. And then I put that on a Google sheet. And then I just label it like candidate one, candidate two. And then I have their classmates get on and vote on a Google form who they think would be the best rep for our classroom, and then we go with that. So it's worked out well. You know, the kiddos and the parents both seem to receive that very well because everybody gets a chance. And I just think that ultimately it's the best way, but that's just for me. So
I used to be a student council representative for one of my fifth grade classes in the Pendleton Intermediate School. I think, as you were saying this, the new way they were doing this, I think you changed that my sixth grade year, because I remember I had to go in front of my class and give a spiel about why I should be in the student council. And I remember being terrified to talk in front of my class.
Right. And some kids just aren't comfortable with that. So that's another reason why, you know, I switched it up a little bit.
What is the process like when you are picking your leadership for the student council? I know you just talked about this, but like, when is the time that you usually do it, like school year wise?
So we'll hold the classroom representative elections. We'll do that no later than October. Then once we get a meeting under our belt as a council, we will kind of do the same process for our officers. So we do a president, a vice president, a secretary, a treasurer, and then we do, it's like our social chair where they'll do things for the announcements, like do the write-ups and everything for that. We usually do that like the second or third meeting. We hold elections for those offices.
How often do you have your meetings, and like what happens during your meetings?
So we typically have a meeting a month. With the exception of March, because with spring break and everything, it's just, you know, kind of a busy month. But we meet one time a month, and we meet in the library at the intermediate building. And we do have some projects that require us to meet twice a month for a couple of months. But we basically bring in the ideas from the classrooms, the concerns from the classrooms. All of our representatives make like a little shoebox and decorate it and have it in their classroom. And we get all kinds of ideas and suggestions in those boxes. So we go over those. We talk about what's coming up on the calendar, ways that we can support our teachers and students. And just, you know, any ideas even from them come to the table at that time.
Are there any events that your student council hosts and like run yearly and annually?
Yes. So our biggest, I don't want to call it a job because we all love it so much, but we do our Veterans Day program. And again, this has looked, you know, differently all throughout the years, but I finally got the okay to put it all on the kids. So meaning they do all of the talking and the presenting and all the ideas come from them. The only thing that I do is read the names on the certificates that we give to the veterans. And I mean, I'm not going to lie, I struggle with that a little bit because some of the last names are tricky. And I don't want them to be embarrassed with that piece. But our Veterans Day is awesome. We usually pull about 85 veterans. So that's, you know, wonderful for the kids to see, and we provide refreshments for them and just, you know, honor them. And it's wonderful. We also help with our holiday Helping Hands food drive. So we are responsible for collecting all of the donated food items and boxing those items up for families. And we typically provide usually around, you know, provide for 30 families a school year. And again, it just, those are all things that just make us all feel really, really good that we're able to give back.
For the Veterans Day program, the high school, they have their highest band, which I'm currently in. It's their Wind Symphony. And we go and play a couple songs during the Veterans Day program. And I don't think when I was in student council, I don't remember being a part of the Veterans Day program, but I like being there and watching how the kids work everything. I think that's I like how you guys honor the veterans.
Thank you. Yes. When you were in council, we didn't quite have that, you know, part in the program. So I'm glad that we have, you know, gotten to the point where the principals are on board and the students are on board and it works out well. And I also have like a standing date with your band. Like you guys are going to come every year. Yep. Because we love having you.
We like going. I think it's most of us like just getting out of class.
Fair enough.
What is the transition to the middle school like for the student council members?
Okay, so I have to be honest, I really don't know if the process is the same from when my two were at the middle school, but I know that when they were, it was a teacher recommendation for the students to be in the council. I'm not sure if they still do it that way or not. But basically, we just, when the sixth graders are getting ready to go on, we just encourage them. You know, to go to that next level of leadership and, you know, just explain to them that, you know, if you think this is really cool, wait until you get into middle school and then wait until you get into high school and, you know, you're going to be able to do so many great things. So, you know, I'm a little embarrassed to admit that I don't quite know their process, but we're just so focused on them as fourth, fifth, and sixth graders that, you know, I just want them to get their foot in the door and to be encouraged and want to continue on. So
my current class president, I'm pretty sure he went to the same elementary school as me. And I think he was the class president every year up until like right now, like from elementary school to high school now.
Awesome.
Yeah. How do the members communicate the ideas of the students and the staff to the principal?
So what we typically do is we type it up on like a little doc and we share it with her. Now, I will admit sometimes we get some ideas or some concerns that aren't quite what we need to be bringing to the table. A lot of the requests are like newer equipment for the playground or, you know, there's always suggestions for food changes, which, you know, at the elementary level, the food isn't as cool as it is when you go to middle school and high school and have more choices. But we usually communicate with her either by that doc or actually our members will go and talk with her. She's great with always having an open door, you know, for us and allowing us to, you know, bring all of those ideas and concerns to the table.
How, as the teacher sponsor of the student council, do you help your members make decisions?
I have to be honest with you. I try to just, when they're stuck, I try to sit down with them and have them look at both sides of what the situation is that they're tackling and just ask them questions that maybe they, you know, have not thought of yet. And, you know, it helps a lot that I've been doing this for so long that I feel like I have a pretty good grip on what they might be thinking. And I also am a firm believer of just going with your gut. And so I just try to be that support to them and, you know, just encourage them to try it, anything that they want.
And my last question is, what advice would you give to your students to be good leaders? Just not your student council members specifically, but overall students?
Oh gosh, that's a tough one. I would probably say that it's so much more fun to lead than to follow. And you may have an idea that you think nobody is going to like or, you know, want a part in it, but you would be very surprised at how many people out there probably think it's super cool, but they don't want to, you know, they may even have the same idea, but they're just a little hesitant to voice that. So I always tell my students and my members that whenever you have a good idea or a good question, never hesitate to bring it to the table because you may be speaking for someone else as well. So you could kind of be that person, you know, to take that lead. And, you know, what do you have to lose? I mean, it's just going to make you grow no matter what. And if you make a mistake, that's okay. You learn from it.
Well, unfortunately, that is all the time we have here for this WEEM Weekly episode. I was your host, Julie Walls, and I was here with
Courtney Brenly.
And we will see you next time.
Tired of boring old podcasts? Flip it around with Arabian Rundown, our bi-weekly podcast posted every other Thursday. This isn't your typical podcast. Get ready to dive into wild conversations, fun topics, and awesome conversations with the WEEM podcast staff. Listen to Arabian Rundown anywhere you get your podcasts. Watch the video version on our YouTube at WEEM Media.
Welcome back to WEEM Weekly. My name is Callie Oxier, and today I'm joined by
Hudson Kistler,
Catherine Roberts,
and Natalie Jimenez.
We are going to be talking about the new play. Do any of you guys want to tell me what the title is?
Arsenic and Old Lace.
So what is the play about?
It's about two older women that live together. They're sisters, and they invite older gentlemen in, and they kind of like take care of them. But what the older gentlemen don't know is that their wine that they're drinking has poison in it. Ooh. And they're killing older gentlemen that are sad and lonely because they think it's a mercy to them.
Sounds very interesting. Yes. Sounds like a good drama.
It is more of a comedy, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, because there's a whole lot of doors coming in and out. There's their nephew that is in love with the girl next door. And so there's all that going on. And then they have another nephew that they haven't seen for years. And he's crazy and he's coming to stay. So there's a lot to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a psychopath. And then there's the third nephew who he thinks he's...
This is a lot of nephews.
Yes.
Yeah, he thinks he's Theodore Roosevelt. So, like, the whole family just has a lot of, like, craziness.
Mental illnesses.
Yes.
Okay.
Except for Mortimer. Mortimer is the one that's in love.
Mm-hmm.
Got to add a little love to the crazy, I guess.
Yeah.
Do you guys know what your roles are yet?
I am one of the old ladies. Her name is Martha Brewster. And her sister is Abby Brewster. Martha is a little bit more scared of everything going on, or just gentle, while Abby is a little bit more abrasive.
Yeah.
And I am Officer O'Hara. I'm an Irish police officer who just barges into the house all the time and pesters Mortimer.
That's like really alike. Like,
thanks.
Yeah. So I'm actually not in it. I was going to be until I found out that I was going to interfere with choir.
You don't know Natalie. She's a very big choir kid. You were in. She's been in all the plays this year, though, so far. So it's the first one she's missing out on.
Yeah. Mm.
Do you guys know why Mrs. Brown chose this play?
She did this one a couple years ago and really liked it.
I remember that too.
She'll only do shows again if it's been a while and she feels like we can do better this time.
Yeah.
So it's a classic. Like a lot of people know the movie, and she always wants to go with classics because that's what brings in the tickets. Mm-hmm.
It's a movie.
Yeah.
Did not know that. I've genuinely never heard of
this.
It's
a really good movie, though. I watched it before I found out that I couldn't do it. I was going to audition, so I was like, oh, just watch the movie. Cool. Can't audition, actually. But I think the movie's pretty good.
I will say the movie's a little dated.
Oh, yeah.
But that's the only warning I'll give for that.
What roles can students have in the play? Like, I know that they can be actors, but is there anything else, like, behind the scenes that they can do?
Yeah, definitely. There's our stage managers, Mariana Evans and Treason Reynolds. One is on the fly rail, which is just manning the curtains, and the other is telling lights and sound when to go. And so we also have lights and sound people. We have props, costumes. There's a lot of people backstage that do a lot for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you're, I don't want to say camera shy, but like not a big, I guess, stage person, you can always choose something behind the scenes. That's
definitely
good.
And it's just as important.
Yeah, the people on stage are only really half the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if we don't have a crew backstage, then we don't have a show.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's kind of
They deserve as much credit as
of course. Crew.
So I had said this earlier, but Hudson's character is a little similar to his actual character. So would either of you say that there's any similarities within yourself and your character that you're portraying?
I guess a little bit. Just in, like, she gets, when she's mad, she gets a little more vocal. And I tend to as well. But she also is almost scared of conflict at the same time.
Yeah.
But that's really the only correlation, considering she's an old lady with a North Atlantic accent. But what about you?
Not really. I don't think I'm a very annoying person. Calm down, Callie.
Natalie, do you have something to add?
No. No.
He's definitely a little more abrasive, I feel like. He's always just trying to talk to Mortimer. But I don't really find myself doing that too much as like an actual person.
I mean, you're always trying to talk to Coulson.
Yeah. We were going to have Coulson on here, but none of us could find a time after school to do it. That would have been very chaotic.
Oh my God.
So you've already described them. How big of a part would you say your guys' roles are?
I love to be humble, but I would say this is like one of the bigger parts.
You're like top three in the play.
Yeah. I was going to say, aren't you like up there with the...
Yeah. I think the part that would be bigger than me would be Abby, which is Grayson DeVault.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just like my sister. So we have approximately the same amount of lines, but she is definitely there more.
Yeah.
But we're pretty much even.
So you're one of the sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that took me a while to catch on.
Oh, my bad.
Okay, Hudson, how big of a role is your little Irish jig?
Police officer, I only have about 52 lines. I'm only in...
Why are we counting?
Whoa.
Act 2 and 3. Well, I found this out yesterday. I was like, oh, that's cool. 52.
I have approximately 52 lines.
I'm proud of that. Oh. It's a lot to memorize, but it's pretty fun. And I'm only in...
So you're like a medium role.
Yeah.
Mid.
I'm only... Okay.
Mid. No, just kidding.
Who's in it and who's not?
Oh.
Ooh. Okay, let's
get
not...
Get along with this guy. Like,
let's not... How long does it take to produce a play? Like, how long does it to cast, to learn your lines, to do costumes, backstage stuff, tech, like how long from start to finish would you say it takes to fully get the play in function?
A long time.
I feel like realistically,
you got a ballpark. We would prefer.
I feel like realistically, like north of 2 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think that's right. But we've had to do it in a lot shorter.
We've had we're supposed to have more rehearsal days for a play. However, this play there was some personal stuff going on, so we had to basically rehearse this as quickly as possible. There was a point in time where we didn't have access to the auditorium because choir was in and out of it. So we were using the study hall pit and the library for a while. And we missed a whole week of rehearsals due to like the snowstorms and stuff.
Yeah.
So ideally, a lot more time than what we got for this play.
When did you start? Like, when did they start casting and like chose the play and stuff? Like, how long ago was that?
That might have been almost about a month ago.
Yeah, so you guys are pretty much 15. Halfway through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. If not more.
Mm-hmm. What so far, what has been the hardest part of like figuring out your role, learning where you are? Like, what has just genuinely been the hardest part?
Stage directions are a little tricky because not only do you have to memorize your dialogue, but you also have to remember where you're going, what you're doing at that time.
I agree.
And if you're not where you're supposed to be at a certain time, it can make things difficult for yourself and for the people on stage with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though I'm not in this play, but like in person, like other times that I've been in plays, it takes so long to figure out because it's like you're multitasking.
Yeah.
Like at some point, like you're doing this, but also you're doing this.
And I mean, I'm not 100% sure because I've never really been a theater kid, but I'm assuming smaller roles have multiple roles. So like I feel like that can also be really confusing. Mm-hmm. Maybe like changing costumes, from scene to scene to scene, having completely different lines, having different personalities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And our ensemble, just they're awesome because they go from this costume with like not that much time. Yeah. And so they are running to the dressing room and sometimes they might have to get changed in our little costume room next to the stage.
Yeah, and again, with, like, the crew, you can't have a show without the crew. You can't have a show without an ensemble.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can't have a show without an ensemble.
It looks so like, bare.
Yeah, if you only have, like, three people in a show, you kind of get bored. So you kind of need those people.
One-man play.
Yeah. It also helps.
One-woman show.
It also helps with, like, the voices and, like, the singing. Because, like, three people can sing a song, but it takes a choir for it to sound like a choir.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know you guys are only a month in, but is there anything you do to kind of prepare yourself before like stepping into your role? And this can be in any play. Like, is there a certain thing that just makes you like really kind of click into place with your character?
Mm-hmm. Well, what I did preparing for my audition is I looked at several different plays and like the movie and how they portrayed the character. And I took bits from like those people. And I kind of made it my own. I did research as much as I could. And then the anxiousness of it all kind of have to push through it. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely research and practicing helps with the anxiety you might feel going on stage.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I played Glinda the Good Witch in Wizard of Oz, it took me so long to audition. Like, I think it took me like a month to like actually audition because it was when Mrs. Brown, Jody Brown was at the elementary schools and with Mrs. Franklin. And I was like, okay, well, I know them. It's great. But like, I know like this will be easy. Yes.
No,
it wasn't easy at all. And I auditioned for Dorothy, got a call back. And then me and Haley Powers were neck and neck for the role. But Haley played the part better than me, so I got Glinda. Cool. Yes. Yes. So finding myself in that role was so hard because she has a different accent.
You're prepared for Dorothy for a month straight, and then you just switched up on the spot.
Because I wanted Dorothy so bad. I was like, I want this role so bad.
How about you, Hudson? You just slap on an Irish accent?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
He's good at it too.
Yeah. Let's hear it.
You gotta go watch the
No,
play.
Let's hear it. Give us a little sneak peek. Maybe this will make me want to watch the show. I'm
trying to plug the play right now. You gotta go see the play.
They're not gonna wanna see it if you don't give them a hint.
Yeah,
this hint is gonna make them entice draw them into the show. It's gonna make them want to go.
Just a little sneak peek. One word. Your hardest word.
Irish.
That's great.
I don't know.
That was amazing. You guys have to come see the show now.
Yeah, you have to.
Did you hear that, guys?
You have to hear more of that.
What is your favorite scene or moment in the play?
Ooh,
you don't spoil like big moments,
no.
But like this is again like kind of hinting at the show to make see if people want to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Probably when Mortimer first opens the window seat. Yeah,
when Mortimer discovers that there is a body in his aunt's house.
Yikes!
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Which that is a great part.
Really funny.
Like, I kind of have two, that's okay. But the major one is the relationship between Mortimer and Elaine. It's like, it's push and pull. I love it. It is such a good dynamic. And it's just overall, just like really heartwarming, kind of, even though they argue a lot. And then for me personally, there's a specific point in the show that I pick up a shoe. And I just kind of pointed at Mortimer, and no one knows where I got the shoe from. That's it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Stop messing with your mic. I'm cutting that out,
sorry.
By the way. When can you see the show? Or do you guys not have dates yet?
We do.
It is Friday the 27th and Saturday the 28th.
February?
Mm-hmm.
No, April.
I don't like your attitude.
It's February.
I thought it was the... Never mind.
Okay,
mind. On the shirts that we received, it says the 20th and the 21st.
Yeah, I thought it was the 20th.
It had to be pushed back.
Correct.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So it is on the Pendleton Players website. That is also where you can go get tickets.
Hey.
You guys know how much this cost? No?
Maybe like
go find out
bucks?
For yourself at Pendleton Players website.
Yes.
It's not super expensive.
Unfortunately, that is all the time we have for WEEM Weekly. Thank you for joining me. Again, I'm Callie Alexier, and I was joined by
Hudson Kistler,
Catherine Roberts,
and Natalie Jimenez.
We'll see you in the next segment or episode.
Attention all 90s lovers. We're rewinding the clock back every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at 9 o'clock for 90s at 9. All your favorite hits on your favorite student-run station. You don't have to go searching for the best 90s songs. It's all right here on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome to the Arabian Sports Network Halftime Show. I'm Brooklyn Schuyler, and today I'm going to be joined by
Mr. Jesse.
And we are going to be talking about the construction and engineering classes that we offer here at PHHS, specifically the ones that you teach. So would you be able to first kind of run down version some of the classes that you teach?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll start off with the construction, our construction pathway. Freshmen are allowed to take the Principles of Construction Trades class. That class there is, we do a wide range of things. We learn how to use a tool safely. That's how we start first. Talk about the safety, and then we get into drawings, how to read the drawings, and then once we feel comfortable with that, then we start building things. So we build walls, we build roof system, we build stairs, we get into concrete work, so that we build the forms for the concrete, we mix the concrete up, we pour the concrete, get IMI out here to go through how that all works when you see a concrete truck come out and how that all goes about happening. And then we get into electricity, we get into plumbing, we get into some drywall, HVAC stuff, kind of touch base on everything so that student can decide, do I want to go into this section, this field, try to get a wide range of just different trades that are out there so that they, when they become a senior, they can decide what they want to go do and make some good money doing so. Sophomore, junior year, We have our civil construction class, which would be the second class, and our advanced civil construction class. And in those, we're really focusing on not vertical building, like a house and buildings, but more horizontal building. So roads, bridges, all your infrastructure that goes with your roads and your bridges. So like your drainage pipes and everything that goes, anything underground. So we even get them into, students get to drive skid steers in class, mini excavators. We get West Side Tractor. We couldn't do this without the help from the community. And B.L. Brown has given us an excavator or a mini skid steer to use in class. So we get to have that all year round for the students to learn and dig with. But West Side Tractor, they donate a bunch of equipment to us so that the kids can also practice throughout the year. So that's really a awesome class where they can really get some hands-on experience and decide if they want to do some heavy equipment operating. And then the advanced civil, that's where we start taking kids out to job sites. And they get to see a little bit further in depth of what their job could look like as a civil construction.
Absolutely. And then what is the kind of structure of this class? Is it more kind of students are given assignments and they work through them and kind of learn that way? Or is it kind of they make their own path based off of their interests?
In those classes, we try to do a lot of hands-on projects. There's times where we got to sit and do some book work and take some notes. But a lot of the times it's showing actual projects that are done and then trying to replicate those projects the best we can in a lab situation. But anytime we're up moving around, not a lot of time in a desk. So project-based, hands-on stuff.
Yeah, and you have a lot of, like, I've walked down there just a few times and seen that, like, big workshop area that you guys have. Is that where most of your projects are? Is a lot of it outside of the classroom in the, like, outside of the school as well? What does that look like?
In the freshman class, the principals of class, a lot of that stuff is done inside that lab. So that's where we build all of our walls and do our electricity stuff, do our plumbing, do our concrete. But in the civil class, we try to get outside as much as we can. And we have a sandbox between the middle school and the high school, which is the big spot where we dig and have fun with those heavy machinery pieces and learn how to put manhole covers in the ground or how to make a trench box so that the soil doesn't collapse on the person, whoever's in the hole. So we try to do the real life world experiences and get that in much in the curriculum as we can.
Yeah, and you kind of mentioned this already, but job sites and students going into the workplace after high school, what would you say are kind of like the key skills that students take away that they bring into the workplace after high school?
I mean, with any job, you gotta have the soft skills.
Mm-hmm.
Those soft skills are the ones that are going to get you to where you want to be. So working hard, showing up on time, those things go a long way. And just listening and paying attention to instructions and details. So we really focus on that stuff. But then also having a good background on how to use tools, how to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
Safety is a humongous deal in construction. And every day, no matter what job site you're at, they're going to talk about safety.
Yeah. And even for students who maybe aren't going specifically into constructions, having skills like safety with tools and electricity and plumbing are things that everybody is going to need to know in their life.
Yeah. The way I always tell kids is, even if you're not going to get into a job in construction, I'm going to teach you things in these classes that are going to save you money.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that be knowing how to change an outlet in your house or knowing how to patch a hole in your drywall, just things like that. So these classes go a long way. A lot of times students don't think about where they're going to be when they own their own houses or have to fix their own houses. But I've had many students come back and say, I'm glad I've taken your class.
And do you also teach any of the engineering classes?
Yeah, Mr. Klipsch and I both. And Mr. Klipsch also teaches the construction stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
We work together really well down there. But in our engineering classes, we have, as freshmen and sophomores, we have the introduction to engineering design. And that's really where you learn how to draw 3D and 3D printers, laser engravers, things like that. And then principles of engineering is where you learn a wide range of the different engineering fields. and we touch on a lot of them, and we get to really start building stuff. So making robots, learn all that stuff, a little digital electronic stuff, but more building in that class, not just drawing on the computer. And then junior and senior year, we have our dual credit classes, which are digital electronics and civil engineering and architecture.
And are there any prerequisites to these classes other than the basic like principal classes?
Nope.
Awesome. And then my final question is going to be, out of these classes, what is something that you enjoy teaching the most, either the construction class, engineering, or both? What is your favorite thing to teach in these classes?
Man, that's a hard question. I enjoy a lot of my classes, but I guess if I had to choose, I'll choose the construction. I like working, like building things. I like seeing something on a piece of paper that you have drawn or designed, and then you get to build it and see it come to life.
Yeah, and especially for students to see kind of their own drawings come to life. And
yes, for sure. They enjoy that too.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sitting down and having this interview with me. And we are going to go back to Arabian Basketball on 91.7 WEEM.